Good evening, and welcome to the Yellow Dogs. Cozy group tonight. I always feel so grateful on Monday nights to be have an opportunity to, you know, hang out with what I call real people. That sounds kind of mean, but I don't mean it like that. I mean, just conscious people, people who are trying to be the best human beings that we can be. It's encouraging. Because I'm going to talk about grief tonight. are we grieving? I mean, we're grieving all the time. That's the thing about it. We're just not noticing it. But all day long, in with the mindfulness bell, when I kind of hear that every hour, yeah, I can feel the grief arising. For sure, and nothing's wrong with it, of course, and we all grieve, but are we grieving the possible loss of things that we really prize right now, like life and freedom and connection, quality, decency, democracy? So tonight's talk is an effort to talk about Buddhist perspective on grief, because there is some relief, and there's some relief in all the things that we come to as human beings. And if they are known, as you well know, if they are known, recognized, and allowed, and investigated, then we become much closer to the truth of what they're all about, because then the inner rain is, it nurtures our whole system on what to do with loss, with grief. Because it hurts. So all emotions are transient, thank you, states, rather than defining who we are. So that's good news. And we know that our emotions rise and fall away, because we study ourselves. You know, we're real interested in what is happening in our mind and our bodies. Well, so we begin to investigate emotions, and we begin to see directly for ourselves that they arise in the body, and they're just sensations. They start with sensations, morph into feelings, and then emotions are just strong feelings that really we feel from our head to our toes. They're intense. So, but they don't define us, and just knowing that little bit of information releases a bit of us from thinking that they're more than what they are. So, erosion of decency, whether it's through corruption or injustice or civic apathy, can bring deep grief. And not all of us are certainly feeling that deep grief, and that's okay. But it's there. I can't deny it. So the grief is not just personal. It's collective. Really feeling the collective part of this grief I'm carrying around. What is it tied to? Well, it's tied to the suffering of society. It's there because we care. We care about people. They don't have to look like us. They don't even have to think like us. But, you know, that's what the open heart does. It embraces all of us. So Buddhism offers ways to work with this sorrow without falling into despair. So, have I fallen into despair? Well, yes, I have at times. But we can act with wisdom and compassion. And so some of the things that we can do for ourselves, for caring for ourselves, because we care about others and for others, is, I mentioned this last week, just a little bit more meditation helps. Just being quiet and still and feeling what we feel. It's really important to get to know it in stillness. And because it helps sustain our heart connection to the emotions of grieving. Because I really feel like I want to lash out sometimes. Really say some mean and ugly things that really do not help anything. Certainly doesn't bring more of what we're pointing ourselves towards, just more connection. So how do we acknowledge the grief without being consumed by it? Because again, I'm seeing myself consumed. So the Buddha taught that suffering, of course, arises when we resist reality. I don't want this to be here. Go away, you know, what's wrong with the world? And accepting the state of the world does not mean resignation. It means seeing things as they truly are. And when we can do that, we can respond skillfully. Because when I'm unskillful, I feel it. You know, it hangs on to me for a while. But if it's skillful, if it's coming from the heart, then it's spacious. I don't have any residue from it. So get to know, if you're having any of these deep emotions, get to know them. You can sit quietly and naming the emotion, because I have a lot of anger. Oh, maybe we could say rage at some point. But naming what's coming up is most helpful. Anger, sadness, fear, frustration, being overwhelmed. How about feeling helpless? So instead of pushing these away or even trying to get rid of them or, you know, not pay any attention to them, it's important to acknowledge them. It's a relief. And so we can acknowledge them. We can say, okay, this is grief. This is what grief feels like in my body. Then we're bringing it home. We're bringing it home to the whole system. Ah. I've told you this story before, but Mingyur Rinpoche, a Tibetan monk, he left his home several years ago and kind of went on his own. is quite famous, so he was incognito. But he left with nothing for several years. And so the book, and there was a lot of suffering. He almost died. But then when his book came out, and I've told you this before, it was called Falling in Love with the World. Now he knows. I really, really, really think he knows. So how in the world do we fall in love with the world, with all of it? And it's possible, as I understand, Buddha says it's possible because there's so much more to us than we're recognizing, that we're allowing, and that we're using and not participating with life in lots of ways. So how could he fall in love with the whole world? Isn't that interesting? So Buddha, imagine your grief as a wave. Let it rise and fall without drowning in it. But when we do drown in it, that's okay. We always wake up. Thank goodness for all the beginning lessons of Ram Dass, Stephen Levine, and some of my very early teachers taught me. Not drowning in it. In understanding impermanence. That used to be so, impermanence. How could I get around? How can my heart get around impermanence? Well, it happens quite naturally if we meditate, because we do touch the part of us that has never taken birth and will never die. It's there. It's within all of us. So impermanence even begins to seem to speak in a way that was intended, that there's no system, no thoughts or emotions that last forever. Everything is changing faster than fast. We can't see it with our naked eye, but if we had a microscope, we could see that life is not as it appears. So we just try to live it as best as we can. And Buddhism teaches us that all things, good and bad, are impermanent. And it also means that oppressive systems and people and injustices aren't permanent either. I mean, all we have to do is reflect on history. We've been through a lot of this, or let's just say we know about how a lot of this has come up before. So even in dark periods, seeds of renewal are planted. And that's what a lot of us are doing right now. That's feeling the angst. But not all of us are, and that's okay too. But we all have emotions. And our emotions right now might be, we're celebrating. This is what I want. This is what I've been fighting for. So renewal for some of us. What small actions today could shape the future? Because impermanence reminds us that despair is not the final word. Hallelujah. And change is always possible. So even if we get stuck, it's not going to be forever and amen. But practicing wise action. Thich Nhat Hanh called it engaged Buddhism. Now, why would he be in the middle of engaged Buddhism? And he taught it. Such a wise man. So bringing mindfulness and compassion into all our parts of our lives, our social and our political actions. And how to practice this. And at the same time, stay connected to the truth of what's happening. So we ask ourselves, what is just one small way I can contribute to justice? Well, we vote, we educate ourselves, we support, I know this group, we support marginalized communities. But even just simply practicing deep listening. How often do we have that? Or do we participate? What is deep listening? And deep listening seems like it would be really connecting to what someone else is saying or feeling and not be so involved with ourselves. And so instead of acting from rage, act from love, protecting a way to live. Why do we do it? Because we care about all people. How could it be that be bad in any way, form, or fashion? We care about people. And we recognize that even small actions create ripples over time. And this prevents us from burning out and keeps activism rooted in compassion rather than anger. So there's a path. It's a path to disagree. There's a path to disagree and connect. So there's nothing to be afraid of. And so the Buddha says balance hope and realism. He encouraged the middle way. He says don't get caught in the extremes of blind optimism or hopeless despair. So maybe it's a time to reflect what gives us hope even in small ways. Where can we focus our energy without becoming overwhelmed? And I am talking to myself. So can we take breaks from news and still stay engaged? Caring for ourselves is very, very important. When we're having our way and when we're not having our way. And being able to hold both grief and hope allows us to act wisely instead of impulsively. Thich Nhat Hanh talks about the boat people escaping from Vietnam in small boats. And this is what he said. Often the boats are caught in rough seas or storms. The people may panic, and boats can sink. But even if one person aboard can remain calm, lucid, knowing what to do and what not to do, he or she can help the boat survive. And so we go back to something else, a tool that is so deals with connecting, is we do have a mantra, a prayer. We do have know-how to take metta, loving kindness within. We know, we practice that enough to know it's not a hype. If you think it's a hype, you just flat hadn't practiced. So when grieving losses, sending metta, loving kindness, can transform despair into connection. It's happened a trillion times. So how to practice loving kindness? Well, make up whatever connects you to all of us. Then the words do not matter. You'll hear the traditional words, but it's anything. May all beings be free from oppression. Is that hurting anybody? May those who suffer find peace. May I have the strength to work for justice. And this keeps our hearts open. And when we practice, this is I found in my own practice with the mindfulness bell, because I'm pausing all through the day, and that pause, what I'm meeting with the pause is a variety of things in my life. Every hour. Doesn't have to be every hour. But can you see how alive the practice becomes when we begin to see a little bit all day long what we strive to see in our meditation practice? I have found it as a pot of gold for my own practice. Why I haven't been practicing in that way, even though I've been certainly encouraged to. So this keeps the heart open, even in difficult times. So Buddha taught patience and persistence, reminding us that even in darkness, the smallest candle matters. So we don't have to give up. We can ask ourselves, how can I be a light even in difficult times? Listen, your meditation is so supportive and so helpful in bringing kindness, not only to yourself, but to everyone. It's not just for us as we meditate and try to stay calm and peace. Yeah, it's nice to be peaceful and calm, but there's so much more to that that we begin to realize when we connect way beyond just this one person of me. How can I be a light even in difficult times? Well, whatever we grieve, large and small, we grieve all day long. When you drop a dish, when you don't get your way, when you get your way and you want more of it. I mean, we are grieving all day long. That's one of the things I've seen too throughout the day. Like and my dislike. And again, nothing's wrong with liking and dislike because that's part of our DNA. But it's what we do with it. What do we do with the things we don't like? What do we do with the things we like? So whatever we grieve, large or small, the same principles apply. Grief is a natural response to loss. So let it be. Grief is unique to each person. Acknowledging and expressing emotions is essential. And we find ourselves in a culture that is fantastic at stuffing it. We've been told to stuff it and run away. It's evil. These emotions are evil. Support is crucial. Self-compassion is necessary. Grief doesn't mean forgetting. And of course, grief can lead to growth. So through pain, grief can also lead to transformations. Personal, deeper connections, increases appreciation for life, and a greater sense of empathy towards others who suffer and who are suffering, and people who are making other people's lives miserable. Oh, I just can't imagine what's going on inside. It has to be hell. It has to be hell. So, directly experiencing the body where life is lived with all our emotions and bow to them and live happily ever after. Profound, but that's what, and live happily ever after. Yes. So thank you.